Welcome to an Arkansas AgCast Deep Dive, where we take a closer look at news that impacts you. The Arkansas AgCast is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau Federation.
Welcome to the latest episode of the AgCast Deep Dive series. We developed the series as a way to break away from the ag news headlines and take a closer look at a topic that matters to our members. I'm the host of today's episode, John McMinn. I'm glad to welcome Congressman Rick Crawford to the Arkansas AgCast. Congressman, welcome.
Good to be here.
Thanks for coming. We really appreciate you saving the time for us.
Absolutely.
Well, Congressman, last summer you were appointed as co-chairman alongside Congressman Don Davis of North Carolina to the U.S. House Committee on Agricultural Labor Working Group. Can you tell us a little about the working group, the recommendations from your final report, and how those recommendations align with the needs of farmers in your district? Kind of a loaded question, but
there's a lot to unpack there, but all of it, you know, the needs of the farmers in my district were really kind of what informed this whole deal. I mean, we knew we had a problem with H2A. Everybody in ag country knows we have a problem with H2A.
Yes.
The chairman designated me to lead the effort, along with Don Davis, who is a great guy from North Carolina. He and I, on the front end, established some very hard and fast parameters within which to work. That is, we're not going to talk about anything but H2A. We're not going to talk about DACA. We're not going to talk about pathways to citizenship. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about immigration in the broader sense. None of those things. We're going to focus exclusively on H2A. And I think that's why we turned out a good product.
Yeah.
We had those boundaries established on the front end. Everybody on the committee knew it. There were 8 Republicans, 8 Democrats. And we got to work, and we started bringing in stakeholders from, a geographic perspective, as well as the employers, farmers, HR companies that manage H2A workforce, things of this nature, and attorneys, you name it. And so this was a 9-month process. We had an interim report that came out that basically highlighted the information that we had gathered. And then we had a period during which we allowed members that were not on the working group or that were not on the ag committee to come in and make their case. And then the final report basically was a list of recommendations that we are going to send out to the committees of jurisdiction. Now, what most people don't realize is that the ag committee has no jurisdictional authority on H2A.
Yes.
What we did have was subject matter expertise. Mm-hmm. We had relationships with stakeholders. We had the ability to convene meetings and so on so that we could inform this process. And so what we did was we made recommendations to the committees of authority. The 5 committees of authority are Homeland Security, Foreign Affairs, Education and Workforce, Judiciary, and Ways and Means.
Yeah.
We're not in that. Mm-hmm. So all we can do is hope that our recommendations are accepted and they turn into legislative solutions to these problems. We considered 25 recommendations. Of the 25, 21 were adopted. Keep in mind, this is a bipartisan group. Yeah. 21 of those were adopted. Of those 21 that were adopted, 13 were adopted unanimously.
That's great.
So this was probably one of the most consequential things to come out of the Ag Committee in this Congress.
Yeah.
That's the good news. The bad news is we can't make these committees mark up these legislative recommendations.
Yeah.
We can hope. And I do think that the chairman and ranking member of the Ag Committee are going to lean in on this real heavy. And I think the response and the reception from the chairs of the committees of authority has been good.
Okay. Well, I would just like to say I'm sure, just like the rest of the farmers in the state, our members are very proud to have you on that.
I appreciate
sitting
it.
Sitting in that seat. And also your office, Ms. Sherry, has been a great help. We have our own.
Yeah, she's spectacular on it. So if you've got an issue with H2A, Sherry Mitchell is the one to call.
Yeah, she sent me an email the other day, actually. So
yeah. Good deal.
We had our own little committee here for labor when we found out that you were going to be on the committee there. And got together and kind of put in some formal points, and she gladly took them and shot them up the ladder. And then she's kept us informed the whole time.
Yeah, so, good.
And you brought up the recommendations, right? And those are only recommendations. How do you see that some of those recommendations one day becoming policy? And are there any bills out there floating around that may address some of that?
Well, some of them. Okay, here's an interesting dynamic that took place. There were a lot of members that were not on the Ag Labor Working Group. We had a bunch of members that came in and basically gave testimony to the working group. one of the things that they said was you really need to adopt the Farm Labor Modernization Act, or I forget what it was the actual name of the bill, but it was one that had tried, they tried to pass it in the previous Congress, couldn't pass it. They had some really good pieces in there. The reason it didn't pass is because it had a bunch of extraneous considerations that were related to things we talked about we weren't going to talk about, and that is DACA and, you know, pathways to citizenship and, you know, things like that that were extraneous where you're trying to leverage outcomes, and we weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
So what we did was we took the good things out of there,
okay,
and those things were considered. And I think people recognized why we did it, because when you try to leverage one against the other, you don't get either one in many cases. And that was the case here. So we stayed away from that. Even though they had legislative text, we took the good recommendations and considered those that were strictly confined to H-2A reform, and that's what we focused on. And I think we turned out a great product.
Good. I think just a question I have about it specifically is, you know, that adverse effect wage rate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that being frozen in the future, or what workings do you think will happen there?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a move to cap that so that it can't exceed a 3.5% increase year over year, and it can't exceed a 1.25% decrease year over year. So we're trying to float that within some reasonable parameters to provide some degree of certainty to the employer so that you're not seeing a precipitous increase in wages year over year. So we're trying to cap it as a percentage. And that was one of the recommendations that was made.
Yeah, and one of the complaints we got a lot of were the SOC codes, you know, for different types of job titles.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what we did in that case was implemented a de minimis exemption for example, a truck driver. If you're, that's what really jacks your wage rate up. So if you had to drive a truck for 15 minutes today, we're not going to pay you a truck driver's wage.
Yeah.
So we adopted that de minimis percentage, and I think that's reasonable. And I think, as I said, you know, we had 8 Democrats, 8 Republicans. You can get into some pretty serious, you know, disagreement when it comes to labor, and particularly as it applies to this adverse effect wage rate. But I think because we did so much background on this with the stakeholder groups, I think they understood that this was probably the most recurring complaint throughout the entire process.
Yeah, we had, I think a reporter had come to us asking us our opinion on a few things about it. And it was right when y'all sent out your final report. And they asked us, well, what do you see differently from, say, Jonesboro or Stuttgart compared to North Carolina or Washington or California? And for me personally, and everything I've read or been a part of, it's the same across the board.
Mm-hmm.
All the issues are the same. There's no, maybe some regional differences, but very little.
The only difference I see is that in our neck of the woods, we're seeing more South African labor as opposed to Mexican or Guatemalan or Honduran or whatever. We're seeing more of that, you know, South African. We even occasionally were seeing some Romanians, even some Ukrainians, but it's really predominantly been South Africa.
Yeah.
You don't see them as often in areas like, say, the Rio Grande Valley for obvious reasons, Florida, over in California. That continues to be dominated primarily by those migrant workforce that are of Hispanic descent.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting dynamic here in sort of, you know, the Mid-South and through the Midwest that we're seeing a significant increase in the number of South Africans in the H-2A labor force.
Yeah. A few other complaints we had heard were, you know, workers jumping from one farm to the next.
Yeah, absconding, big issue.
Or the difficulty of applying for the program and trying to get people here and the timeliness of it all. And that also, I'm sure, was addressed in the final report.
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, absconding being another recurring theme is that, you know, a guy comes in on your visa and that as their employer, your name is on that visa as a sponsoring employer.
Mm-hmm.
They leave your farm, you're still liable for that employer, that employee rather. And so we wanted to make sure that, you know, an absconding is recognized as an absconding, and then that employer that sponsored that individual is no longer liable for the conduct of that individual if he leaves the farm and is gone for so many days. And obviously there's going to be a reporting requirement, things of that nature. But bottom line is employers shouldn't be held responsible or liable for anything further from that employee who's out of compliance.
Of course. Well, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit away from labor. I understand you've decided to run for chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Can you elaborate on that and how important that would be for citizens of the state here?
Well, it's interesting dynamic that our delegation has, that we have a sort of a cross-section of committee assignments, mm-hmm. and that's by design. This has all been sort of coordinated by our delegation to do the most and the best for our state. And so we work together as a small delegation to do the best we can for the entire state. So even though, you know, I handle the ag portfolio in our delegation, I don't just address the First District of Arkansas. Yeah. I'm addressing, you know, the entirety of our ag production in the state of Arkansas, and then working in concert with our members of the delegation. Same way French does on financial services, mm-hmm. or, you know, that Womack does on appropriations and Bruce does on resources and things of this nature. We do all of that. We work together.
Yeah.
Transportation is no different. So we're taking that into consideration about what this means for the state of Arkansas. And Arkansas is a huge logistics hub.
No.
Very trucking heavy, but we have every mode in abundance here. Our rivers are super highways for mm-hmm. movement of goods. You know, we have multimode, you know, look, J.B. Hunt's biggest multimode carrier in the world.
Yeah.
We have, you know, all these transportation resources that are important to the state. And so this really kind of positions Arkansas very favorably to be able to drive the kind of policy that we think is good for the supply chain, and that really helps move our economy.
Yeah. You know, a lot of our farmers were kind of hindered or obstructed by the low water levels of the Mississippi mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm. Is this something that would be addressed in that committee?
100%, because inland waterways are critical to the movement of agricultural mm-hmm. commodities. And not just the output, but also the input. Things like yeah. our fertilizer and stuff mm-hmm. like that sometimes gets log jammed, if you will, for lack of a better term, in our you know, ports down in New Orleans, for mm-hmm. example. When we look, the just-in-time supply chain is a beautiful thing when it works right.
Yeah.
When there's glitches, it can create major problems. And we've seen that happen from time to time, where we have some problems in transportation coming upstream, in addition to having those problems at harvest when we have low water and it's difficult for us to move yeah. our commodities downstream. So, yeah, inland waterways are an important part of that multimode picture.
Well, I've got one last tough question for you,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll go into a fun question. You probably get this a lot, but, I mean, it's that time of year, that time in the cycle. What do you think about the farm bill? Do you think we get one this year?
It's going to be tough, and I don't want to give an over-under on it, but, I mean, we're running up against time, and time is really not our friend. Mm-hmm. We're under an extension. Extension expires on September 30th. I wish we had pushed that out to the end of the calendar year instead of the fiscal year for a couple of reasons. One is that on September 30th, we still have farmers in the field.
That's true.
And number two, on September 30th, we're 6 weeks away from a presidential election.
That's also true.
If I'm being quite candid, I don't want our presidential candidates talking about farm policy.
Yeah,
it's convoluted and difficult enough to understand mm-hmm. without these two individuals weighing in on a very sensitive subject. And I'm afraid that it's going to become campaign fodder for presidential candidates, and I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
But there's a possibility that it might.
Yeah. Well, just to wrap up here, we every interview we do here on the podcast, we have a fun question, like I said earlier. And I've heard one way or another that you've been involved in rodeos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So can you give us a little bit about what you've done with the rodeo and what was your event? You participated, right?
Yeah. I was a saddle bronc rider, and if I'd have been any good as a saddle bronc rider, I probably wouldn't have been in Congress, number one. But what it did was it opened up a lot of doors for me. I got hurt bad enough that I had to quit,
yeah.
and I started announcing rodeos.
Okay.
And so I kind of started using my communications experience to open other doors, and it really kind of allowed me to grow the farm network that I started. Yeah. And you know, I really got to attribute there was a lot of bad things that happened in rodeo in terms of I've broken a lot of bones. But, you know, in the long term, I learned a lot from it,
mm-hmm.
Promoting and producing those events and learning how to interact with people. And it allowed me to pursue, you know, AgWatch Network, which we did and ran for several years. And it was a very successful network right up to the point that I got into Congress. And so it was an important, you know, chapter in my life.
Yeah. But
like I said, I can't brag that I was a great bronc rider. I feel like I was a pretty good rodeo announcer.
Mm-hmm.
Opened a lot of doors. The bad news, another thing, is my son's now rodeoing.
Oh.
But he's way bigger than me, so he's steer wrestling instead of bronc riding.
What do they call that, bulldogging?
Bulldogging, yeah.
I had the the great opportunity to go to the Houston Rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
A few weeks ago, awesome. About a month ago. Mm-hmm. That was the first rodeo I've ever been to.
And, oh, man.
And you talk about the announcers. Uh-huh. I was blown away. Yeah. You know, so. But, you know, we're running out of time here. I just wanted to thank you again, Congressman,
you
for
bet.
Coming and taking the time to speak to us today. And if you ever, ever want to come back, feel free. We'll be happy to
Glad
be
to
here.
Do it.
And thanks again.
You bet.
That wraps up the special edition of the Arkansas AgCast. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this deep dive episode. We'll continue bringing on guests to take a close look at topics important to our members. Remember, you can catch new weekly episodes of the Arkansas AgCast every Thursday. Find video episodes on Facebook and YouTube. Listen to the audio version where you listen to podcasts. Make sure to subscribe and leave us a review when you have a few extra minutes. The Arkansas AgCast is brought to you by Arkansas Farm Bureau. I'm John McMinn. We'll see you next time.